looked at the stuff you can get out of testing. How do you actually apply that? We've talked about product and project. You can look at the progress that you're making. You can look at how much time you've taken compared to how much time you expect it to have taken by this stage. You can find out whether, for a given level of problems, you're going to have fixed all those problems in time, whether you're going to have to give some of those problems over to the customer. And talking about giving problems over to a customer, we're talking about customer risk. Customer risk is a powerful concept. It's sometimes well understood within testing, it's sometimes not. It's perhaps new to the testing community. The idea of customer risk is that when you produce a product and you give it to a customer, that customer takes on a risk. The risk they take on is the risk that you've left in. You've made a product that eats their data. It's a risky product. You've given it to your customer. That customer is not going to be happy. So, let's say you're going to be starting out with a test strategy. What do you want from testing? I'd like to know about the progress of my product. That might be against requirements. I'd like to know about the process of my project. It's probably against time or money. I'd like to know about how I fit my customers' expectations when I give them my product. I'd like to know whether that's going to give them a risk. These are things that you can know and you can get out of the testing process. These are things you might want to put into your test strategy. One important thing about risk-based testing is a good buzzword. It's an interesting approach to testing. I like it a lot. One of the big problems about risk-based testing is that it involves a risk model. And a risk model says where the risks are going to be. This is another predictive thing. So the risk model says, I'm going to find a risk here, I'm going to find a risk here, I probably won't find a risk here. That is itself a risky assumption. If you do risk-based testing without looking at your risk model, you'll be missing a trick. That's a good thing to have in your requirements for what you want out of a test team. If they're doing risk-based testing, we'd like to know about the risk model they're using. Is it viable? Is it a valid risk model? Does it work? Another thing that often seems to come out of testing is quality. Now, this is a particular irritation to me. Quality itself is a very fine thing, but everybody understands what it is differently. If I go to an organisation, I can say, so tell me about quality. One person will tell me it's the how many bugs they find in the system. The other person will tell me that it's to do with coding standards. Somebody else will tell me it's to do with customer experience. This is all fine, but it doesn't help me with quality as such. So I'll tend to ask, when I'm setting out a test strategy, I'm looking what testing can tell me. I'll say, okay, if this was a high quality product, what would be the most important thing that you would see if it was high quality and you wouldn't see if it was low quality? You look at the effects of quality, and then perhaps you can put that into your test strategy. Perhaps you can take that away, make a process around it, design your testing to address that quality issue. Finally, this is perhaps new. Theories of error. There's a young man sitting in the front row who I know knows what error means. And we know what error means because we've written a few questions about error in the foundation certificate. Anybody here heard of the foundation certificate? One or two? There are three things that go together when you talk about error. Error, fault and failure. I was talking to a German at Eurostar. He said the problem with error, fault and failure is that in German they're all the same word. Which makes translating these things slightly difficult. However, a failure is what comes out the end. A failure is when something goes wrong. A fault is what causes a failure. An error is human. Theories of error are theories of how problems get into systems. How we as developers muck up our product. Theories of error are interesting things to look at. There are characteristic sets of failures that can be caused by one fault or many faults, but those faults can in turn be caused by certain characteristic errors. Theories of error help you to find those errors, not only to help you look for bugs more easily and thus find more bugs and irritate the coders even more. Theories of error help you go out there and say, we hope we can help you adjust your process to avoid this error. We've spotted something that creates these faults, these failures. We think you may have a pattern of error underneath. We think we can help you with that. So that's something else that you can bring out of your testing process. Something else you can put into a testing strategy as an output of testing. All these things are good. All these things are helpful. All these things are, for me, part of the real deal. They're part of the useful stuff that testing can tell you. They're part of the valuable stuff that testing can tell you, and if you don't take it on, you're throwing away the value of some of the people in your testing and some of their time. You should retain that value. By retaining that value, you'll have a better product. By retaining that value, you'll get more for your money. So if you think you've got value, you can get value from these things, get them somehow into your testing. And that somehow is what I'm going to cover now.